Om Shanti. It's an immense day for all of us. Today in our get together, we have Brother Stephen from Australia. His Baba is one of the sweet child, a very pleasant soul. From last 20 years, he is in Gyan, and from last 10 years, he is giving his seva, his service in Global Hospital, Mount Abu. From our self-progress brigade, most welcome to Brother Stephen. Hi Matt, how are you going on?
Om Shanti, good morning. As Nawabai says to me, Om Shanti, Australian, and Sham just said mate. Mate in Australia means friend. So it's a greeting when we say hello mate, it means hello friend.
So how are you going on? I come to know that you just back from Australia a few days before. So how's everything there? What kind of seva going on there?
Yes, I was in Australia for 6 weeks and 4 weeks intended, but 2 weeks delayed because of visa slowness. And in Australia I did 8 different workshops, interesting workshops, because I prefer to do workshop, facilitated workshop rather than lecture. And the workshop that I really liked was called The Power of Perspective, and it was for both BKs and non-BKs, but I asked a series of different questions about what is perspective. What's the Hindi word for perspective? And asked questions, what is perspective? What does it look like when we lose perspective? What are the situations that we most likely lose perspective in? What does it feel like when we lose perspective? What are the things we can do to cultivate greater perspective in work life, family life, all of the different situations that come up that we lose perspective? So it was a very, very nice workshop. And
what kind of difference you feel between the seva in foreign country and in India?
Well, good question. Really, I mean, so what's the difference? I don't know if there's a difference. I mean, we serve on a different level, more incognito. You know, not so much wearing whites and wearing badge and sari, although some sisters do. But it's very much the service that you do in your workplace. Most of the BKs are doing their service by just being at work. But particularly on 18th of January day in the centre in Sydney, atmosphere was amazing. It was many people took the day off and they went to centre, and it was a very beautiful and powerful atmosphere. People were doing meditation all day. And even in the place where the centre is in Sydney, it's a new centre. So you have people that are being served that were not served before. You have more people coming just from evening meditation, whereas before that never happened. So this is a special place now. It's very much in a commercial street area, so it has different type of service. But it's very inspirational to see the people working, coming back from work, go to centre, do their service at centre, go back, serve their family. A lot of effort is being made.
How did you decide to give your seva service in Global Hospital? Any special inspiration or just a common thought?
That's another good question. I think there's some background behind it. I remember when maybe the second or third trip to Mataban. So 2017 is 20 year anniversary since I first came to Mataban next month, and I think it was about 98, 99, I met Nawabai in the courtyard here, and he said something to me. We were having a long chat and he said to me, I think we're going to see a lot more of you here. And that was in 1998, and then in the end of 2005, I had a 7-day silence bhati at one of our retreat centres in Wilton, Australia. And at the end of the 7-day silence bhati, I was just reflecting on what had happened in 2005 and what was going to happen in 2006. And I got a very clear, strong message and inspiration that in 2006 I was going to leave my job and that I was going to work outside of Australia. That was it. And I had, no thought of where that might be. I thought it might be New Zealand, and then I thought, no, it's too much like Australia. And then in March of 2005, I went, 2006, I went for a 2-week service tour of Sri Lanka, and I thought maybe it might be Sri Lanka. I thought nothing was coming. And then I came to India, and then Dr. Patap said, would you like to come and... he asked me if I would come for 1 year and do service in the hospital for hospital administration. So it was interesting how since January the 1st I had had that inspiration I would be going somewhere. So as soon as he said, will you come, I knew immediately that the answer would be yes. So, but there is another backstory, is I feel very strongly that when I selected the career of hospital administration, and my father wanted me to be a school teacher, and he was a school teacher, and I said, I don't want to be school teacher. So we went to all different universities looking at the different careers, and then all of a sudden I walked into this room, and there was this hospital administration, and I went, what? And then I was so interested, I said immediately, this is what I want to do. I want to be a hospital administrator. And I went home to my mother and my eyes were lit up and I said, Mum, I want to be a hospital administrator. And she knew from that minute that she couldn't change my mind. That was it. And when I reflect back, I knew very much Baba was preparing me to come to Global Hospital some 20 plus years later.
How did Baba's Gyan come in your life?
Again, connected to my father, and my father had cancer of the pancreas, and it was 3 months between diagnosis and he left the body. So my father was a Roman Catholic, family was Roman Catholic, I was born into Roman Catholic, and so he was a very paka Catholic, but then all of a sudden faced with his mortality, and because the progression of pancreatic cancer is very quickly, and there's not much you can do about pancreatic cancer, and so he started to seek, and he started to go and learn how to meditate from a Buddhist monk. So I went with him, and I remember that first meditation was a profound experience, and there was 60 of us meditating together in just a little community hall. And so I continued to meditate with my father, and after my father left the body, I got up every morning and continued to meditate. At 5 o'clock I was getting up every morning to meditate. But then after a while I started to notice that I was falling asleep. And I said, well, this is not meditation. And so I had this thought, I must find a group of people who I can discuss and understand, who are meditators themselves, so I can learn more about what meditation is and what meditation isn't. That was my clear aim. And the other aims was that I was working very hard. I was working 60 plus hours a week. I was a very active sports person, and I was having a lot of body illness, immunosuppressed type illness at that time. And so I wanted to become less stressed. I wanted to be more peaceful, and I wanted to improve the quality of my relationships. Those were the clear 3 aims of learning how to meditate. I had no single thought of God whatsoever, and although open, and So that morning I'd had that thought, and that evening I was at a big shopping mall, and it was almost like, and I ran into a friend who had just finished the Raja Yoga course, and it was like, I'm here, this friend is here, and Baba is making us meet, and she said she knew what was going on in my life and everything, and she said, I think you would like this course. And I went home and I booked in to do the course the very next day. And I've only ever seen that sister twice since that day. Her role was to bring me into Gyan, and that was it. Off she went. And that's how I came into Gyan in 1994. And at that time I was also married.
What's your first experience of Madhuvan and with Baba?
First experience, well, it was here in Om Shanti Bhavan, but it's what happened before then. It was the year, and it was when Daddy Chandramani left the body. So it was a very powerful experience, and so I had met Daddy Chandramani, and then she went to Bangalore for service, and then she left the body in Bangalore, and then they brought the body back to Mother Ban. And so, as is the custom, they took everything out of History Hall, and her body was there, and there was all night bhati. And so I was staying in Gyan Sarovar, so my first experience in Mother Ban was Gyan Sarovar. And then at 1 o'clock in the night we came over for 2 hour bhati. And as soon as I walked in the room, because I had heard and Baba had said that when a great soul leaves the body there is dead silence. And as soon as I walked into the room I went into bodiless stage immediately. And it was such a profound experience in the history hall. Can anybody was here? For Daddy Chandramani leaving the body, Mother Bandhavasis are remembering. It was so profound and deeply, deeply affected me until this day. That bodiless experience that I had, the deep silence, the deep stillness, the deep power, the deep Baba, the ocean of love. It affected my whole cellular matter. And so that was a real influence. And also the cremation was my first cremation that I had seen with my own eyes. And so that also, the whole thing of the impermanence of the body and the body being burnt and having had that powerful experience. And then sitting right at the front for Bap Dada was a very powerful way to start my experience, though I must admit I still don't think I understood everything. It took some time, and I think it took some Mother Ban visits, although, you know, the seed was there and the understanding was there-ish. If you compare to the understanding to now, it's totally different. So it took time, but those experience, you know, would last for months and months and months when you would go back to Australia. Deeply, it would deeply touch you. And it did deeply touch me. And feel very fortunate that I spent 10 years here.
Now as you understand everything, how to remain happy in Brahmin life?
Balance is the key. And balance of body service, looking after the instrument, and doing exercise every day. Every day it's really become quite a habit for me. That's really important. The quality of the food and everything that I put in and the attention I put to my food is really important. And the time that I allow and give myself for churning is crucial. No churning, no progress, no happiness. One of the things that I did when I was in Australia, I had a digital detox from the 20th of December to the 1st of January, and that was extremely powerful. Digital detox means from that period of time, I had my phone because I still had to communicate with family, etc., but no social media, no news, no looking at news things, no watching, little bit of watching news, but at least not getting on to WhatsApp, to Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is, Twitter, no answering of emails, yes, that was a really, really important thing to do. And I've changed so many practices as a result of that. You know, deleted many apps and stuff off my phone. I turn off the data during the day, and I just, whenever I need for urgent things, I look at. And since 27th of January, I've gone on a news fast, as in no looking at news channels, newspapers, news websites, etc., and that has been extremely powerful, and has given me so much more time. Those things, in terms of the balance, is the exercise, very close attention to diet, the churning, are all important parts, and of course, you know, the quality of the meditation and really reflecting on the quality of it and how deep was it, and exploring depth of meditation, how to go take it deep all of the time. And I think the other most important thing is service. In Australia I was only working 3 days a week, whereas here I work 6-7 days a week. So it really changed my attitude towards work, being in Mudapan, and now work really is the way. Work is my laboratory for jnana and yoga. It gives me the barometer. Barometer means it shows me how I'm going with my understanding and my depth in terms of my interactions with people, in terms of quality of my work. So work is really important. So it's that balance of all of those things. And fun. And doing fun stuff, getting out and going for good walks, doing fun things with my service companions, that's important.
From last 10 years you are in India, so how are you managing with the sanskar of the Indians? Because there is quite a lot of difference between the Indian sanskar and the foreigner sanskar.
I'm still managing. Huh? Who are tough? It's just different. It's just different. It's really hard to explain. I mean, the things that I love about India is the work ethic. You know, this sort of can-do attitude, work ethic in terms of how things work, and really, you just get on with it. Yes, it is different, but that's part of the journey, really, of being in a different culture. You just got to get used to it, whether you're working in Italy or whether you're working in UK or whether you're working in Germany. There'll be a sanskar that's different to your culture. You've just got to work with it. What to say? I mean, it's not good or bad, it's just different. That's all it is, and you just got to not make too much of it. I mean, there's definitely times where I've been frustrated, but that's more my stuff than what's happening around.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here today. I accidentally attended your meeting, you know, morning meeting, because I was trying to attend the 7 o'clock bully, but I misunderstand the 6 o'clock. So I got here 1 hour early, and then when I woke up the stairs, and then I saw you talking. Mm-hmm. But the door was closed. I didn't know you were talking Hindi or English, and then finally I understand. Anyway, I'm Professor Chung, teaching wellness tourism, Yongsan University in South Korea. And I'm not a BK, but I'm still, since last June 2016, we had a big conference inviting BK Jayanti from England, and I still studying to be a BK. Hopefully, coming October, I want to be here as a formal student. So let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, Australia is a kind of Baba's big power is spread out all over the Australia. You have a lot of brothers. They started early days like Ken, and then also David Kloski, who is really spent his whole life here in BK. And what is your big motivation to become a BK, even though you are staying in a Western culture?
I think that I'm not sure if you got missed a bit about my early reasons for becoming a BK, but it was really about improving the quality of my relationships, being less stressful and being more peaceful. And they're the motivations still today. They're the things that I gauge. So I guess that when I came into the BK Center, it was a strong sense of familiarity. I was very comfortable with the pictures of Brahma. I really loved the picture of Vishnu. And almost immediately I had a picture of Vishnu beside my bed. So there was a strong sense of familiarity. But in October, that was in October 94, and then in July 95, I went to the UK for 12 months. And that's where I really became a BK. And what really did it for me was that I went to different centres all over the UK and all over Europe. And what I found was this consistency in atmosphere and consistency in dana and attitude of the students. And that's what really just went. So it wasn't so much anything particular in Australia, but it was that consistency that people were actually practicing what they were preaching. That's what got me. And the other magical thing was that I was fortunate that my first Rakhi was tied by Daddy Gulzar in Australia. So I felt it was like really ominous, and it was a very amazing atmosphere again. And so when I came to Mudderbun, I remembered that Rakhi, and I said, same atmosphere that was on that Rakhi night as here in Mudderbun.
Thank you for your sincere answer. And so you started your BK study since 1994, you focused on two things. Number one, consistency. So beginning stage of your starting of BK, there is a lot of reluctance. Wake up early. 3:30. Sometimes you can wake up. Sometimes you are lazy. But when you go to your UK, and then you keep waking up 3:30, and then do a lot of principles of BK. I think consistency is very important. And number two, to meeting a good spiritual leader. You met Dadi Gulzar. I think those two answers can help me a lot to become a future VK. Thank you, brother.
If my progress and into Gyan wasn't immediate, as in following all of the principles, because I was married, so it took time. And I think that first I felt a little bit of ashamed that it took so much time, and then I realized, look who I am now and look where I am now. It doesn't make any difference. So for me, it was slow and steady wins the race. The other important moment in my life was January the 18th, 1996. I'd got up at 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning, and we drove from Manchester, which is where I lived, to London. So it was my first experience to London. And Brother Mukesh, who's in the Manchester Centre, we drove together, and Daddy Janki was there. And it was after that day that I became vegetarian. I had such a powerful experience of non-violence. I woke up next morning and I said, I'm vegetarian. And so it wasn't a matter of having to consider it, but because I'd had that real deep experience and experienced the power and drishti from Daddy Janki, things started to happen for me, and I started to get more into the principles and had the clear aim, I must go to Madhuban.
According to the time, what's your current effort?
More of the soul consciousness and day-to-day actions, and just really cleansing throughout the day more clearly about what is soul consciousness and how much I'm a detached observer from the elements. I found that just 6 weeks away from Australia and then coming back, I'd really noticed a change in myself, a much deeper soul consciousness, and being able to be more detached. So that is really my effort, is just a very more silent, reflective soul consciousness throughout the day. And that just paves the way for everything. It gives you more deeper awareness of your thoughts and feelings and enables you to go deeper. That's my simple effort, is that plus more churning and just quality of churning and depth of churning.
Any cherished moment of your this Brahmin life?
So many, but it's a collective cherished moments is being at the hospital, being able to witness the great souls leaving the body. Daddy Manaha, Lachu Daddy, that my experience with Lachu Daddy was amazing. All of them, watching them in their final days, and the quality of their stage, and no matter how much they were being prodded and poked, I think there's 6 different daddies over that period of time that I've witnessed. That's been really profound, and I'm sure Sachin and Hina have also had this experience, but being able to watch them and how detached they were, you know, how much was being done to their bodies, but still I'd walk into the room and the drishti would just knock me for 6. Just really powerful. And being able to have witnessed that and had those close one-on-one times with them are just absolutely cherished moments. Apart from Bhat Dada but they are cherished because they're practical, they're here in the body, they've gone beyond their drishti, it was right here and now, that was really special.
Any special advice or suggestion for our group?
With respect to what?
For effort.
Well, look, I think it's amazing that you're getting together so consistently, and I think that is to be a recipe for success, you know, how much homework everybody is doing, and you're giving homework to people and they're coming back and doing their homework and doing it, and their commitment to the group, that's a recipe for success, you know. And but I like the concepts around workshops, where you honouring that everybody in the room rather than just the person at the front speaking, and having reflective questions and dialogue and conversation, and maybe 1 or 2 more workshops type style every now and then is very powerful, extremely powerful. No, actually there wasn't much left, and this was just fluff and I couldn't do anything with it, and it was standing up like this. But I went on a conference in Mumbai, and I'd been involved in the organizing committee. It was a Lockheed conference on facilitation. and it was a very powerful experience. And at the end of it, I just went, you know, I felt there was a lot of internal change. And as a, I guess, as a representation of that change, I just got up in the morning and I just shaved it daily. These are very important Gyani questions. No, every three to four days. This I shave every day, but this every 3 or 4 days. But double light. Yeah. Understand, Sanjay?
Lots of thanks to Brother Stephen on behalf of our group for sharing your mature and wonderful experience with us, and I hope it will be very useful for us. Om Shanti. Thank you.